Well, I thought today we'd talk about having a childlike faith, because here we are launching Kids Ministries downstairs, and I know they're excited because they're going to go downstairs and have a ball downstairs. But up here, are we having fun? Yes. They are excited because what they're learning is new, right? Maybe not for all of them, but for a lot of these kids, some of this stuff is really new, and it's presented in new and exciting ways, and that's something that we're trying to do here. So my question is, are they having more fun than we are? I hope not. They might be. So let me read the scripture for today, and then we'll pray. Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them. Mark 10, 13 through 16. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, oh God, that every little nuance and every little thing that we can hear and read in your precious word, God, would speak to our hearts and enlighten us, God. I pray for a newfound joy, a newfound awe, a newfound wonder of who you are today. In Jesus' holy name, amen. But the first part of that scripture is that the parents brought their kids to Jesus, right? Parents were coming around. They knew who Jesus was. He had a reputation, and they brought their kids around. So kudos, parents, right? The parents that brought your kids today, you brought your kids to be around Jesus, right? Where two or three are gathered, he is there amongst them. So you're bringing your kids to be around Jesus, to find out more about Jesus. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." So it's our job as parents, right, to direct our children onto that right path. Well, what is the right path? Jesus, right? He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus wants the children to draw close to him. In the passage that we just read, he becomes angry with the disciples, those that are the closest to him, right, for discouraging them. So for us, we need to make sure that we encourage the little ones as they draw close to Jesus. And sometimes that's in worship, that freedom that we have in worship up here, where we can just let kids be kids. Do you know that, adults, that we can have the same freedom? That we do not have to worry about what everybody's thinking about around us, just like the kids do. You know, when you watch the kids, they can care less. They'll stand in their heads, they'll twirl around, they'll do whatever. They run around with those little flags and they're having a ball because they could care less what people are thinking. We need to have the same freedom that we come before the Father in his presence and just worship the way that we are created to worship. Kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. So we need to become like children in the way we approach God. And that's childlike, not childish. Right? When you think of childish, you think of some of the negative connotations and some of the bad behavior that kids can display. So we're not asking you to be childish. We're asking you to think about being childlike. So what does it mean to be childlike or to have a childlike faith? The first quality is to be humble. So our passage this morning was from Mark 10, but in the parallel passage from Matthew 18, Jesus says, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So we need to humble ourselves. And I know a few months ago we talked about what humility is. Humility is not thinking less of ourselves. That's false humility, where we downplay ourselves because God thinks the world of you. So we don't want to think less of ourselves. We want to think more of others. That's what humility is. Paul exhorts us in Philippians 2 that we should do nothing out of vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And then he provides a perfect example of humility. He goes on to talk about Jesus, that Jesus didn't think less of himself. Rather, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He thought of others more than himself. And so therefore, God exalted him. And so it is with us, right? We are told in James 4, Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So children are humble, right? When they go downstairs, they're humble enough to know that the people that are teaching them and talking into their lives might have something to share, to pour into their lives. They know the teachers are there to bless them, to speak into their lives, to help them become better. And just an aside, please know that this is my heart too. You know, if I'm up here teaching or any of the people that I invite to come in here and teach you, they want to be able to encourage you, to bless you, to speak into your lives, to help you become all that God has for you. It is my job to encourage you on the journey, right? To keep you safe and to encourage you to go forward. Humility is knowing that there are no places of service to the Lord that are more important than others. We need to be willing to follow this wisdom from Ecclesiastes. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And Paul puts it this way in Colossians, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So if we keep that perspective, it will keep us humble. We do everything as unto the Lord, who is exalted above all things. So if we're serving the King of Kings, there's nothing that we should be taking upon as prideful upon ourselves, because we're just serving him, and he is the exalted one. The second part is being childlike, is being trusting. Now, I know not every home is perfect, right? Not every home where kids are raised with parents that are actually absolutely trustworthy, but I'm talking about the ideal here. We have, as parents, those of us that are parents, we have the best interest of our kids at heart. And God, who is the perfect Father, has our best interest at heart and is worthy of our complete and perfect trust. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. So it says in that passage to trust him with all your heart, not some. Right? And in all our ways submit to him, not some, all. Jesus is perfect, and God is the only one that deserves our perfect trust. You know, sometimes the difference between God and man is sin, right? And sin creates a risky proposition when we're trying to have relationships with people, because people are human, and sin has entered the world, and we are sinful, all right? We all fall short of the glory of God. That makes relationships risky, right? Isaiah 2:22 tells us to stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem? So we extend our trust to people, but we have to do it knowing that people can break our trust, that they can hurt us. And it doesn't mean that we don't try to establish trusting relationships with people, right? We have to keep putting ourselves out there. We have to keep trying to love one another, because that's what we're called to do. But it does mean that there's only one relationship that we really have that's perfectly true, the one that you have with God. God will never hurt you. God will never break faith with you, never break trust, even though humans can. So he is worthy of our trust, a childlike trust, just as the little ones look up to us to know that we are trustworthy and that we have their best in mind. Jesus himself tells us in John 14 that we need to trust him. He says, trust in God. Trust also in me. You know, in different translations, it uses the word believe, right? Believe in God, believe also in me. It gives us a different feel when we think of believing in somebody as opposed to trusting in somebody, right? When you ask somebody to believe in you, that means that you're asking them to trust where you might be leading them, to trust a vision or a mission. To believe that you're not going to be led astray, right? This is the good shepherd. This is our perfect good shepherd, the one that you can truly believe in, and he will not lead you astray. And trusting in the Lord leads to blessing. Proverbs 16:20, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. I like this version. It says, it pays to take life seriously. Things work out when you trust in God. Everybody believe that? When you trust in God, completely trust in God, things do work out. It doesn't mean that there aren't difficulties, okay? I'm not going to say that everything is rose-colored glasses all the time and perfect. It's not. But we can trust in God that he has our best interest at heart. And even the things that he allows in our life is for the betterment of us. And childlike faith is joy-filled. If you think about a child, the little ones that run around and find wonder in the world. Anybody that knows my daughter Libby knows that she is, I call her joy incarnate. She just runs around and life is good all the time. And she is my, the siblings might disagree with me, but I but I believe that just Libby, without any kind of, you know, stress from anybody else, would just be happy all the time. She scooped out ice cream on Thursday afternoon at a friend's house and said, "Look, it looks like a face. You see the two eyeballs and the nose? Like everything she sees is a picture or an image or something of wonder, and it causes her to laugh or smile or just be awe-filled with it." What would it be like if we were like that all the time with God? With everything that we saw, everything that we read, all of our experiences, every time we opened our eyes, we were like that once again. What would it be like if we returned to that first love? What it was like when we first came to know the Lord, when everything was new? For anybody that's known God for that long, for a long time, sometimes it's hard to remember what that felt like. Each revelation's exciting. Just like it is for those kids downstairs, you know, when they're learning something new, they're going to come running up here and they're going to be sharing with the parents, "You know what I learned today? And how cool is that?" We need to have the same, "What? What was it? That's awesome." The same response, so that we can receive what they're sharing with us and have the same excitement and the same, ah. Mystery. That's why they're doing Faith Case down there, because everybody loves a good mystery, right? Either on TV or a movie or a good book, a mystery. And how many times you walk around, or while you're experiencing that, you're trying to figure out the end, right? Does everybody try to figure out the end? So too often we become too comfortable with God, too familiar. And then we lose the excitement of learning more about him, of delving deeper into his word, of being surprised by him. Are you surprised by God? Do you have that same kind of, "Oh, that was awesome, God. I can't believe you revealed that to me. That was something I never saw in that passage before. I've read that 20 times before, but I never heard it that way." Because there's always something else to learn. There's always an experience. God is so deep and unfathomable that every experience that we have should be like that all the time if we have the eyes of faith to see it. Romans 16, 25 to 26 says, "All of our praise rises to the one who is strong enough to make you strong, exactly as preached in Jesus Christ, precisely as revealed in the mystery kept secret for so long, but now an open book through the prophetic scriptures. All the nations of the world can now know the truth and be brought into obedient belief, carrying out the orders of God who got all this started down to the very last letter." It is the scriptures, is that experience of God, of knowing who God is and opening his word and just those mysteries revealed over and over and over again as we become discipled, as we become more like Christ, then those things are more and more revealed to us if we keep moving forward. And we sang this morning, filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Are you filled with wonder? Awestruck wonder? Or is it just a song? Is it just lyrics that we sing and it's a cool sounding song? Or when you sing those words, you say, filled with wonder. And feeling like that, just like a little kid, about who God is. That wonder that God had everything planned from the beginning. If you think about it, in the expanse of the universe and how far it goes and every little detail that he put in place, are you filled with wonder? Wonder, awestruck wonder about what God has put in place and the plans that he has for you, that he knew you before the beginning of the world. He knew you before the beginning of the world. It's awesome. And awesome in that, God is awesome, and then he has a plan and a purpose that is exactly laid out for each and every one of us if we would just have the eyes to see it. Do we take time to truly appreciate the wonder of his creation, his saving grace, the way he loves us no matter what? Or is the world passing by as we connect online, have our faces like this? Do you ever watch people go out in the crowds, schools? What does everybody look like? Wish I had my phone. There's absolutely nothing that I'm going to be revealed about God doing this. How much time do we spend doing that? You know, I'm guilty. I love my little phone. I love connecting. I love finding out what everybody's doing, commenting, having fun, interacting. But honestly, we're not actually witnessing God that way. We've become very horizontal, all concerned with what humans are doing and what our friends are doing and what everybody else is that we're not really affiliated with. They're just our friend on Facebook. And isn't it cool? And wow, look at that cake. Oh, look at all the cute little picture of a kitty. But honestly, we need to interact because God has made us to be relational this way. Right? I can only have relationship, true, meaningful relationship, when I take time to sit with you and hear your heart. Not in snippets and hashtags and everything else. Sorry, teens, you're giggling at me. It's true. I say to my kids all the time, they probably hate it, be fully present. We're in a room right now. Be fully present. God has brought you here for a reason. We're here to encourage one another, love on one another, but we can only do it face to face. And there's a wonder in who you are and you if we take the time to see it and hear your heart and see God in you. Because we are created in the image of God. So when we spend time in relationship one to another, we're seeing the face of God. Right? If we're in the image of God, I encourage you to have true, meaningful, deep relationships with one another. Take the time to break bread, to fellowship, to find out more about one another. We need to open our eyes. God's world is full of wonder, mystery, beauty, and adventure around every corner. We just have to have the eyes to see. I want us to have a childlike faith, because that's that faith that trusts God in everything, that's filled with joy about what he's created and the plans that he has for us, that excitement that if we step forward in one thing, he's going to open up a door again. We might not know what that is, but isn't that half the fun? Right? We don't have to know all the answers. We don't have to know all the plans. We just have to keep taking the next step. It's like, I remember seeing, we went to the Grand Canyon a couple years ago. And if you've never been, it's one of the most phenomenal things you'll ever lay your eyes on. But you don't see it coming because, of course, it's a hole in the ground. You know what I mean? So when you're approaching it, it looks normal. Everything looks normal around you. It's a lovely little path, and there's trees and everything because it's level. And then, of course, it drops down, whatever distance that is. But I remember coming around the corner, and the first, you know, I'm going up the path, and the first time my eyes saw it, I wept. I began to weep because it was so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And that's what God has for us each and every day, if we could just see it. Every little step. You know, you don't know what's coming around the corner, just like that, right? You're walking, everything looks normal. But if I didn't have my eyes up, I'd have never seen it. I could have fallen into it. But we might think that everything's normal around us and nothing's going to change. But if we have the eyes to see, he's going to open up something, and you'll be awestruck, filled with wonder again, to have that faith, to expect that God wants to bless you that way. Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." So I guess I hope that that's your prayer today. Not only that he would restore that pure joy, the joy of your salvation, knowing that you're saved, knowing that you have faith in Christ, and in so doing, you have wonders to behold, not only in this life, but the life to come. Can you only imagine, if it's so beautiful here, what it's like there? And we have that to look forward to. But the second part is that we would have a willing spirit. We need to be willing. We have to be able to be willing to see what God has for us, willing to open our eyes, willing to humble ourselves and know that, oh, God is awesome. To have a childlike faith. Amen? So I'd like to pray, and then we're going to close in a song. So if you guys want to be ready, that would be awesome. Thanks. I encourage you today, when you leave, look anew all around you. Look in your neighborhood. Look at your neighbors. Look at the foliage. This is like a perfect time of year to be able to kind of ha about God, that he has a miraculous paintbrush and does it just for us, for no other reason than to bless us, that we can just look around and just see this amazing brush of color and know that it's just because he loves us. The flowers in your garden, the tomato you eat, taste it, and taste it fresh. Say, God, you made that tomato so yummy, and it's just for me. You really are awesome. You know what I'm talking about, because those tomatoes last night were phenomenal, okay? Anyway, that was an aside, sorry. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, that you love us so much, that you created a world that is so beautiful. Each and every flower, the intricacies of insects and bugs, even if they're creepy, God, is just something that you've created just for us. I pray, God, that we have the eyes to be able to see the beauty that is all around us, God. That we would have trust in you, oh God, that everything that you have planned and purpose for us is exactly good. And that we need to be willing to walk in that, to trust you because you are our perfect Father. God, we hold you. We don't compare you to humans, God, because we know that our relationships can fail us here, God, but that you are perfect and we trust you completely and utterly, God. And I pray, God, that we can humble ourselves and know that we should be upon our knees, God, in reverence and in awe of who you are. That you are holy, that you are perfect, and that you are beautiful to behold, God. Bless us today with childlike faith, humility, trust, and joy unspeakable today, God, as we reflect on who you are today. In Jesus' name, amen.